Let us turn in our hymnals to hymn number 246. Kind, gracious Heavenly Father, it's once again that we approach Thy throne of grace at this time to offer our thanks for the many blessings that have been ours. We thank Thee for this blessing, Father, we have of meeting with those of like precious faith at this convention. We thank Thee for the lessons that Thou hast bestowed upon us this morning. And now, Father, we look forward to the lesson that our dear brother Kindig is to bring to us. May he bring from Thy storehouse of truth the truths that will be embedded in our hearts, that'll help us in our everyday walk of life. And also at this time, Father, we're mindful of all of Thy people, those who have made a covenant with Thee by sacrifice, that are especially going through trials and difficulties and possibly on beds of sickness. Be nigh unto them. And also, Father, forgive us for our many mistakes and our shortcomings. And we long for Thy kingdom to come and Thy will to be done upon earth, even as being done in heaven. For all these blessings we pray of Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue to rejoice together in those things that the Lord has provided for us at this convention. We know that it's been a blessing during the noontime to fellowship, partake of those temporal things that would strengthen us for the remainder of the afternoon. And now to consider something along the lines of God's great plan again. Brother Owen Kindig will treat for us the lesson of some thoughts on the parallels. Brother Owen Kindig, some thoughts on the parallels.
Thank you, Brother Walder. We appreciate being with you, Sister Peg and myself. And Sister Viger is also here from Columbus. We bring you the Christian love and greetings of the brethren in Columbus. I'm going to be walking back and forth to the blackboard and the chart. Now, if during that migration you can't hear me or I drop my voice, please raise your hand. I would appreciate it. This is, you might say, a dirty trick to pull on you right after lunch. We're going to deal in numbers. So if you do not like numbers or you have a prejudice against them, feel free to fall asleep. You won't offend the speaker at all. Some of you may have heard some of the thoughts in this talk. The last time I gave it, a brother came to me after the meeting. He said, "What do you want to give a talk like that for?" That was the best comment I've ever had on a discourse. Because it started me thinking. I wasn't communicating. I hope that we can communicate with you today. If we don't, nature will. Okay. In the last year or so, we've heard comments, and this is what has prompted us to redo the thoughts that we present here today. In the last year or so, we've encountered comments regarding the parallel, the ending of the two ages. And the fact that the pastor just pulled those parallels out of space, that actually we don't have a good scriptural foundation for the three parallels at the end of each age. Now, I grant you that if you laid everything aside and took your Bible, and this is an interesting experiment sometime, I would suggest you try it. Just take your Bible and prove the parallels only with the Scriptures. Only with what you understand from the Scriptures. It's a good exercise. One thing that you'll find is it's very difficult to prove by the Scripture, 1881, and the parallel of 74, 78, and 81 with 29, 33, and 36. Now, there are certain points in there that we can prove very directly, like the parallel between 33 and 78, because Jeremiah gives us that information, the double, the folding over. But Paul states in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things happened to Israel for an example on whom the ends of the ages have come. But oftentimes when we say the general call ended in 81, or 81 was parallel with 36, someone says, where's your scriptural foundation for it? And it is difficult to come up with a direct scripture which proves it. But we think that the Lord has hidden through the prophet Daniel a very definite prophecy which relates not only to the first advent. We commonly think of this prophecy of the 70 weeks in Daniel as relating to only the first advent. We would like to demonstrate to you this afternoon that it also relates to the second advent. And it helps substantiate the parallels that relate in the second advent. Didn't bring my pointer. This one, these mics hot?
Either one.
Okay.
Here's the pointer.
Thanks. The Lord began his ministry in 29 AD. He was crucified in 33 AD. And the period of the favor of the Jews, however, continued
to 36 A.D. Are you picking me up? You're not picking me up.
We'll solve it. Okay. It's interesting what a few electrons can result in, isn't it? As we mentioned, our Lord began his ministry in 29 A.D., consecrated at Jordan. He was crucified in 33, and of course the period of favor to the Jew continued to 36 A.D., okay? Now, we parallel that then with the second advent. And we relate the beginning of his ministry at 29 A.D. to his return in 1874. We parallel his resurrection in 33 A.D. to the resurrection of the body members, the beginning of the resurrection of the body members in 1878. Okay, thank you. And then we parallel the end of favor to the nominal spiritual house and the return of favor to the Jewish house to 1878, and then the continuation of selection of the nominal house, the ending of the general call, we parallel to 81, comparable to 36 A.D. We refer to this as 1 week, one prophetic week. 1 day equaling 1 year. So the last 7 years of this age paralleling the last 7 years of this age. Now, as we mentioned, in Daniel 9, 24 through 27. The prophet states, 70 weeks are determined on thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy and anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the Prince that shall come. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Now, as we mentioned, this prophecy has its primary application to the first advent. 70 weeks were determined upon Israel and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin and a reconciliation for iniquity. Now, these 70 weeks, as verse 25 states, are to begin to be measured from the rebuilding of the commission to Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Four fifty-four BC. And you notice that they were to measure unto Messiah the Prince. That was the beginning of our Lord's ministry, 29 AD. That was when our Lord was received the Holy Spirit of anointing. That was 69 weeks. From the going forth of the commandment to rebuild the wall unto Messiah the Prince was 69 weeks. And then there was one more week. The covenant would be confirmed for 1 week, and then Messiah would be cut off in the middle of the week. And that was 33. Now, I'm sure that you're all familiar with the second volume and how the pastor explains the symbology here. We can confirm that this time period, 490 years, is 70, I'm sorry, yeah, 70 weeks. A week, a day is 1 year in prophecy. A week is 7 years. And so 70 weeks would be 7 times 7, or 490 years. Now, for scriptural confirmation of this, we won't take time to read the scriptures. I would recommend that you check Daniel 7:25, where the Lord, through the prophet, explains what a time is and a dividing of times. Compare that with Revelation 11, 2 and 3. And the same time period is mentioned in Revelation 11 as the same time frame for reference, I should say. 42 months, 1,200 threescore days. And then in Daniel 12:11, we read concerning the 1260 days, the 1290 days, and the 1335 days. And we notice that they all refer to one day being a year. So, for example, the 1260 days relate to the 1260 years between 539 and 1799 AD. In Leviticus 26, 17 and 18, God explains to Israel that he will punish them seven times, a time referring to 360 days, there again, a prophetic year, or a prophetic day being one day for a year. 360 days then would be 360 literal years. And so seven times 360 literal years would be 2,520. And we find that Israel was punished to the day, 2,520 years. Israel went into Babylonian captivity on the 9th of Ab, 606 B.C. 2,520 years later, 1914 A.D., on the 9th of Ab, the World War started. And the World War ended Gentile times, Gentile supremacy over the Jew. The World War I resulted in the Balfour Declaration, which opened up the possibility now of Israel becoming a nation. But 2,520 years to the day. So we know that those time prophecies ...360 days are prophetically 360 years times 7, 2,520. So we know that we have a good base now for measuring this prophecy. But what's interesting is the way the prophecy is given. Notice he states, 70 work weeks are determined on the people. And then he restates that period of time in verse 25. And he states, 7, 62, and 1. Seven weeks. Weeks and 1 week. Forty-nine years. Years and 7 years. Why did God state it that way? Was he trying to tell us something regarding not only the first advent, but the second advent? Or was he trying to tell us something regarding the parallels? We think he was. We understand, and we all understand, that the Jewish age was a template of the Gospel age. That historical events throughout the Jewish age were paralleled by historical events in the Gospel age. Let's consider this time frame respecting some of the events in the Jewish and the Gospel age. (Clears throat) In Nehemiah 2:3-8, and 6:15, and 7:1, Nehemiah was commissioned to begin to rebuild the walls. This was 454 BC. And this is discussed on page 67 of volume 2. From 13 years prior to 454 BC, Ezra was commissioned to return the gold and silver vessels to the temple. BC, 13 years earlier. Now, is there any counterpart? This period of time was 490 years prior to the end of Jewish favor. Could there be any counterpart of history in the Gospel Age that had its relationship to the Second Advent? And there seems to be. In 1391 AD, Huss, the reformer, began to promulgate Wycliffe's works, who is Wycliffe? John Wycliffe, number one, was the first one to translate the Bible into English, and number two, he defended the ransom against the idea of transubstantiation. His ministry began about 1376, 5 or 6, but it's dated. His actual work is at 1378 BC. Thirteen years prior to Huss. Sorry. Let's look at some interesting parallels. between the lives of Ezra and Nehemiah and the lives of Wycliffe and Huss. I'm going to have mic problems here now. As we mentioned, Nehemiah's commission was 454 B.C. From that commission to Messiah, the prince, okay? To Messiah, the prince, 29 A.D. Now we mentioned, we think, we'd like to suggest, and it's not our suggestion originally, the work of Huss in the Gospel Age paralleled the work of Nehemiah in the Jewish Age. From Huss, to our Lord's return, when Messiah returned in 1874. From Nehemiah's work beginning 454, to the end of Jewish favor, 36 A.D., years, as we had before. From the work of Huss to the end of favor in the Gospel Age, 1881, is 490 years. It's beginning to look like maybe these events in history parallel. Notice Seventy weeks. Okay. Now, what was interesting, you know, Nehemiah was commissioned in 454 to build the wall. But they really couldn't get that wall built. It was 49 years they struggled. And finally, a mandate was generated in 405 B.C., 49 years later, it only took about 3 months to complete that wall. In 405 B.C. From 405 B.C. to Messiah the Prince, ...434 years, or 62 weeks. Sound familiar? That's what Daniel was talking about, wasn't he? 62, 3 score 2, and 1. 7, 3 score 2, and 1. 7, 3 score 2, and 1. 3 score and 2 is 434 years. From the development of printing and history relates the development of printing dates it from the movable type. ...1440 AD. From 1440 AD to the second advent of Messiah, ...434 years or 62 weeks. Same time frame. From printing to the return of our Lord. But what is remarkable? From hush to printing is 49 years. 7 weeks. Hush's ministry encountered adversity for 49 years until printing came in. And then things took off. Begins to tell you something, doesn't it? Begins to tell us that the Lord was starting to prepare for the harvest with Huss and with Wycliffe. That Huss was beginning to rebuild the walls of the antitypical Jerusalem, just as Nehemiah began to rebuild the walls of the typical Jerusalem. And that Wycliffe was beginning to return the gold and silver vessels to the antitypical temple, just like Ezra returned the gold and silver vessels to the typical temple. Same time frame. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting? America was discovered in 1492. About the same time as printing. The Lord not only started to prepare the means for getting the message out, but he started to prepare the land where it was going to be disseminated. He was preparing for the harvest and the end of the harvest, the end of the age. Let's look at some more numbers. From 405, when the wall was built, to the end of Jewish favor, ...1,400 441 years. Sixty-3 weeks. Remember the prophecy said 7, 3 score 2 and 1. So if we take the 3 score and 2 and the 1, we come to the 63 weeks, brings us to 36 AD. Remember we said the parallel to 405 was 1440 AD. Because things were easier from then on. From 1440 to the comparable date in the Gospel Age, 1881. Sixty-3 weeks for 441 years. Same time frame. The Jewish age was a template. Let's look at Ezra. Ezra was 467 BC. Remember we said that, we suggested that Ezra, the Ezra's life paralleled Wycliffe's life. We think that because Wycliffe's ministry was 13 years prior to Huss. And we think that Huss's life very definitely paralleled Nehemiah's. There's another important point about Wycliffe. The date of Wycliffe's ministry is given in the pyramid measurements. The number of units from the center of the well shaft to the far end, the far wall of the queen's chamber. The number of units of measure between the center of the well shaft to the far wall of the queen's chamber is the same number of units that there are years between 1378 and 2874. Isn't that interesting? And you remember that Wycliffe stood up for the ransom. And where is his ministry measured in the pyramid? The center of the well shaft. We say the well shaft represents the death of Christ, doesn't it? We have a picture. Some of you saw it at Toledo. Many of you have seen this picture, I think. Brother Ed has shown the picture. In the grotto of the pyramid, where the well shaft goes through, of a lamb's head in natural rock. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It looks like the well shaft represents the ransom. And here, that measurement exists on Wycliffe. A further substantiation, I think, to the fact that Wycliffe's life meant something in the Gospel Age. But let's look at some numbers on his life. Now we have essentially confirmed 29 AD and 36 AD and 74 and 81 as parallel. From Wycliffe, from Ezra to our Lord's death and resurrection,
from the ministry of Ezra to the resurrection of the head of the body, 500 years. Let's start backwards. Let's go to the resurrection of the body. When was that? 1878. Subtract 500 from that.
The year Wycliffe began his ministry. Coincidental? What's the probability factor? I think the Lord designed it. I think he designed this way to demonstrate to us that the prophecy of Daniel 9:24 through 27 confirms the ending, the time features ending the Jewish age and the gospel age. That Daniel 9:24 through 27 relates to the second advent of our Lord as well as to his first advent. And it looks like the Lord was back there in the Reformation movement, the Renaissance movement. He was moving forward, beginning to return the truth to the brethren, beginning to prepare for the harvest work, the return of our Lord. Because if we look at the evolution of thought that occurred and the concepts that resulted through the Reformation and Renaissance movement, they crystallized in the last quarter of the 19th century when our Lord returned and when they could be implemented. And we see the results today. Preparing for the increase of knowledge, you see. But confirming our faith. And this is the only, this is the weakest area of time prophecy proofs that we have in the harvest message. But to the speaker, this Daniel 9:27 confirms these events in the Jewish age and the gospel age, and that time frame paralleling so definitely, to my mind, substantiates that we are in harmony with the scriptures when we interpret that last week of the Jewish age to parallel the last week of the gospel age. Now, I'm sorry, I've gotten away from my notes, and so I didn't give you a lot of the scriptures. If you'd like to have those, I have scriptural support for and references for this, and also other references, Strong's Analytical Concordance, Strong's McClintock, and also encyclopedias and so on. If you'd like some reference to run this down. It's not original to me, of course. It's in your Brian comments on the parallels. I've ended a little bit early. I think we have a few minutes. And if there is anyone, if I may take the liberty, if there's anyone who has any questions on this, I'd be happy to answer, try to answer them. You're all thoroughly confused, I see. Well, at any rate, we'll be happy to discuss it with you. And I'm sure if you check these references, and there is some information in the reprints. But to me, it was a thrilling thought, you know. that not only did, God gave our Lord the exact time frame of his death. He told them through the Passover type the day and the hour that he would die. The month, the day, the hour. And in Daniel 9, he gives him the year that he was going to die. And he sealed Daniel as a true prophet. Now one point I overlooked that I should bring out to you, that the consternation that Daniel had was not only relative to this prophecy, but the 2300-day prophecy. And the 2300 days, you remember, also dated the beginning of the 2300-day prophecy, began with 454 B.C., and that had its termination in 1846 A.D., which is within shooting range. I don't think anyone here was living then. But that's within shooting range of our, history that we can confirm. It's fairly confirmative to our minds. We have no doubts that 1846 was the Evangelical Alliance. And so it also helps to seal in our minds that Daniel was a true prophet. And it also helps to confirm our interpretation of the 2300-day prophecy and the separation of the sanctuary and the host. Yes, Brother Lorenz.
A question may arise. Do you see any parallel between the events of 33 A.D., marking the end of our Lord's ministry, and the events that mark the end of the church's ministry? Now or near future?
Run that by me again, will
you? Do you see any parallel of the events that marked the ends of our Lord's ministry at 33 A.D. to events today that mark the end of the true church? In other words, what date have you in mind?
Do you have another hour? No, I don't. I don't have a date in my own mind as to when I think the church is going to be complete. I have a general idea, speculative. I think that probably in the next decade. Certain time prophecies, to my mind, indicate 1994 as a very definite date, as ending or something. And I think probably one thing it ends is the 120-year judgment period of the angels, which began in 1874 with his return. I think that 120-year period of the judgment of the angels can be extracted from the days of Noah, 120 years. So that would bring us, there are other dates, there are other time prophecies which bring us to 1994, 1998. 120 years as a generation from the beginning of the return of Israel, 1878, would bring us to 1998. So I think, recently I have had people come to me from the world and say, the next 10 years is going to be the most critical 10 years in the history of man. When the world starts telling you that, the epiphania is on us, And I think that the termination of things is pretty close.
Him 110 says he knows.
That's right. Good thing we don't, isn't it? May the Lord add his blessing. We trust you'll just consider these and think about them and get a blessing out of them like we did.
Well, brethren, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that our dear pastor told us that chronology is a matter of faith. And to those that can receive it, these parallels, as Brother Owen has outlined to them, can do nothing but strengthen our faith. That is, if you can receive them. I know we've received the blessing by considering them, and we know within ourselves that these are very viable. They are not a coincidence, as Brother Owen brought out to us. They are more than that. They are of the Lord's devising. We appreciate them. We appreciate everything that helps us to understand where we are in the stream of time. And primarily the fact that it was only the Lord's faithful servant that brought these things to our attention primarily. We can make them our own, we can receive them, or we can lose a blessing by not receiving them. Results are up to each individual. But we do appreciate the lesson of the parallels, which we find are a very viable part of God's plan. Now, in closing, let us sing hymn 303. And we'll ask Brother Owen to close this meeting, this portion of the meeting, with prayer. 303.
Our Father in heaven, we hallow thy name. We are grateful for unveiling the truth to us here with the latter rains. We thank thee for the opening of our eyes of understanding. We pray that we may appreciate our privilege and walk worthy of our vocation. Pray thy blessing on each and every bowed heart before thee, upon all thy Israel. May they be drawn close to thee and abide under the shadow of thy wing. May we be able to stay close to thee each day. And we commit all unto thee, asking forgiveness, anything said or done amiss, and thy overruling, in Jesus' name. Amen.